the week, so I haven't made it to the Wednesday meeting as much as I'd like to. I'm looking forward to that subsiding a little bit to participate in those wonderful meetings at the Ludwig's house. Lord, bless them in every way for all that they've stood for, all that they continue to believe for, and their faith that has just blessed every one of us so richly. We ask your blessing upon them. The word today is going to involve, I believe, exactly what we've been experiencing in this morning's service, the presence of the Lord. And we are now, I guess, about 43 days away. 43 days away from, 43 days into the period of time from Passover to Pentecost. There's 50 days, are there not, from Passover to Pentecost. And that begins then this Saturday for us. And so the word is going to focus on the presence of the Lord and the spirit of Pentecost. If I had to ask you, what makes you different? Aside from the fact, okay, we're comes in all different sizes, shapes, colors, and all those things. What is the thing that makes you different? I'd like you to think about that. What makes you different from all the other people on the face of the earth? I'd like to begin by showing and sharing this morning that it is the anointing of God that makes you different. It is the Spirit of God in you that makes you different. Yes, we come in all different sizes, shapes, backgrounds, and from many nations, languages, and tongues, and it's going to be even more so as the nations open up to God, and how beautiful that will be. But the distinguishing mark in this hour, the difference, will be because there will be a people in the earth that will know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that will become the distinguishing anointed characteristic that the world's going to marvel at, and really will be the great thing that'll bring forth to usher in the whole new day that is just before us, that we can sense in our spirits. It's almost so close right here, right now, today. We're experiencing the new age of spirit, the new life that is ours as Christ has delivered the message of the kingdom. So I'm going to show here initially in the beginning, take you into a little bit of background out of the Old Testament, to substantiate this in your thinking, and then to walk you into the New Testament. We're going to talk about that anointing, that outpouring, and what that means, and then, of course, finishing up on where that leads us today and where we're headed. Okay, so a lot to accomplish, but let's see if we can get right at it. If you would turn, Exodus 33, please. Exodus chapter 33, beginning with verse 12. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, thou dost say to me, bring up this people, but thou thyself hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Moreover, thou hast said to me, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy sight, let me know thy ways, that I may know thee, so that I may find favor in thy sight. Consider, too, that this nation is thy people." And he said, that's God himself said, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If thy presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in thy sight and thy people? Is it not by thy going with us, so that we and thy people may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this of which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name." Wow. Moses well understood the importance of the presence of God going with him. Otherwise, he was just like any other man on the face of the earth. And was it not this great presence of God that went with these Hebrew people that really began to change the course of human history as we know it. And I'd like to show you down through scriptures. It's been this anointing. It's been this presence of the Lord Jesus Christ down through history that has been the thing that has changed history and will continue to change history. For surely God has spoken, and thus shall it be. For in the last days he shall pour out his Spirit on all mankind. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Old men dream dreams. Young men see visions. And there's going to be a great outpouring of the Spirit, of an anointing. We spoke about that veil this morning being rent from top to bottom. It was so real and alive for me that the way for you and me to have a life with God has all been provided. And you're to be ushered into the Holy of Holies, not just in the outer court and worship out there where all the other people used to worship. The priest used to go in once a year into the Holy of Holies. Well, that has all been taken away. Now the presence of the Lord is ushering in eternally, daily, moment by moment. You can live in the presence of the Lord. And what Moses began to understand here, and what Moses knew here, the importance of the presence of the Lord going with them. And I think we're coming to also understand and realize that same necessity in this hour. What is going to change the earth as we know it? More money? More militaries? More what? What's going to change the world is this anointing. Because God is committed to his people that this is the relationship that he's bound himself to, that with us, just as David spoke this morning, with us, we're going to walk into the future together. And it's going to be by us living in the presence of the Lord.
That's right.
Okay, let's build upon this a little bit further. This becomes a differentiating factor, and that maybe would be a good title for the word. The differentiating factor. His presence going with us. We know that back in Exodus 14, the cloud by day and the fire by night, the great presence of the Lord manifesting himself in an element of protection, in an element of immunity, in an element of deliverance. And what we're going to need now is certainly deliverance from the flesh and deliverance from the old man to walk into the days of the righteousness of the kingdom. That's what God's been preparing us for all these years. The message in the gospel of the kingdom has been spoken, which was the message of Jesus Christ to our lives. And that's what he's been preparing us for, that we can walk into the glorious days of the kingdom with him. One verse comes to mind, John chapter 1, I think it's verse 33. When Christ began to reappear, he reappeared to them and spoke of the things concerning the kingdom of God. And the disciples asked him, is it at this time that you're going to restore the kingdom of God? So much was taught about the kingdom of God. And I think if you look into the scriptures of Christ's teaching, that was the teaching of the great kingdom of God to come. But I'm getting way ahead of myself. The point being here out of Exodus chapter 14 is the cloud by day and the fire by night, a form of deliverance of God's presence actually manifesting, hovering over them, giving them protection, immunity, and so forth. Again, the importance of the presence of the Lord. How about in Acts chapter 34? Take a note of it. Read it at your leisure. But it talks about the great glory of God and the tent of meetings. And how Moses used to go out to the tent of meetings. Joshua stayed there. Interesting. Joshua later became the successor unto Moses. But the people well recognized the importance of the tent of meetings. And how when Moses even went there, he eventually put a veil over his face after he met with the presence of the Lord. The glory was emanating from his actual physical being. Fantastic. The importance of the presence of the Lord. And it was this presence of the Lord that the nations feared. Not only for the great miracles that were manifested by the presence of the Lord, which were wonderful in themselves, but the people of the nations, it got around pretty fast. They were very, very concerned and fearful of this people that has been blessed. And of course, we know about Balaam, who was paid money to go out and curse these people. It's another story in itself. But the presence of the Lord made all the difference in the world, dear ones. And that's the thing in this hour that will all make all the difference as well.
Right.
I'd like to refer you over to Acts 37. Read that at your convenience. We've got so many scriptures here today, but we're just going to refer to some of these initially. But Acts 37 talks about the Ark of the Covenant and how the Ark of the Covenant was actually housed the presence and the glory of God. And wherever they went, what did they carry with them? The Ark and the presence of the Lord. It was a type. It was a type of that presence being with them at all times. And as we see down through the scriptures, eventually Christ became the Ark of the presence of God. And now the presence of God is not in some building or temple. The presence of God is with you. The presence of God is in you. You are housing the presence of God. You are the temple of Solomon. You are the Ark of the Covenant. You are the tent of meetings. That's what your heart was created to be. And the importance down through history of what the presence of God has meant, I don't think we can minimize it. And I think it's good to go back and understand these things, particularly now in this special season of the Pentecost, so soon to be here. Temple of Solomon, I just mentioned it, 2 Chronicles chapter 5 through 7. For you Bible students, you might want to get into that and read about the Temple of Solomon and how the glory fell during that temple and the building of that temple. And of course, the Jews revere, you know, Solomon's temple and all of that, and now worship at the wall of that temple. A little bit sad in many ways, but it does show you that they recognized that there was a mark of the glory of God. But by golly, we want the real stuff. I don't want to worship at a wall of what once was, where the presence of God was. I want to be at the center of the camp of the living fire of Jesus Christ that is for now. And that anointing is coming by the Spirit. And it's going to be a double portion. I'm guaranteed it's going to be a double portion of Spirit. So no matter whether we've received the Holy Spirit or not, you're going to have to make way for a double. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, all of this is just by way of background, of introduction, if you will. And I'd like to kind of bring it up now to the New Testament times as you turn with me to John chapter 6. We'll actually look at a few verses in the book of John as we dig a little bit more deeply into, shall we say, moving up of about 500 or 1,000 years in time to John chapter 6. You recall in Matthew 28 at the very end of the chapter, as Jesus Christ leaves this earth, he says, "Lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age." Those were the final words in Matthew. What does that mean? "Lo, I am with you always." Well, you're leaving. What do you mean you're going to be with us always? Well, as we know, the reason that he left was so that he could bring the Spirit, the power of the Spirit. He could pave the way that the Holy Spirit would come and that the Spirit would bring to you all that he spoke of and bring to your remembrance all that he taught and bring you in to a oneness with him, that where he is, there you can be also. That was his motive in love. Phenomenal, isn't it?
Yes.
The great love of the Lord for us. Picking matters up here in John chapter 6, speaking about the promise of the Holy Spirit. And this is verse... Let's see here, do I have... forgive me. This would be John 16. Sorry about that. Yes, this chapter, by and large, is speaking about the great promise of the Holy Spirit, cutting in out verse 7. "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away." Here the disciples have been with him now 2.5-3 years almost. "It's to your advantage that I go away." It's a little hard to receive. "For if I do not go away, the helper," the helper means the paracleto, "shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." And verse 8. "And he, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment." Now I'd like to ask you this. Has the Spirit been moving on your life to bother you about sin in your life? I think if all of us would admit it, it's true. And the Spirit's job is to convict us of sin, but so that we can get rid of the sin. All right? Because what's going to stand in his sight? Can sin stand in his sight? No. So the Holy Spirit's coming to convict us of sin, to get rid of all the sin. Righteousness, because you're going to be righteous. That's the whole process of what the Holy Spirit is working in your lives. And you know, I hate to say it, but you know, there's going to be some judgment here. And I know that that may be hard for some Christians to understand. But judgment is involved with the presence of God. Now, we could go into all these topics very deeply, but that's for another day. But the Holy Spirit is coming. Those three things, I think, are very, very important. We need to think about those things. Okay, moving forward into verse 13. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak to you. And He will disclose to you what is to come. Are you hearing from the Spirit? Because the Spirit's speaking to you. Did you hear me? The Spirit wants to speak to you. The Spirit wants to talk to you. The Spirit wants to disclose to you all things that God has in mind for you because He loves you. Talking about where we should maybe invest some of our time. I think we invested in a lot of relationships and a lot of things. We might want to think about investing a little bit more in the love of God and what He has for us and what the Spirit is speaking to us. Because the Spirit loves you more than anything. The Spirit loves you more than anyone. God's great love for you is so committed that not only did He send His own Son to die for you, if the only person on the face of the earth, He would have done it. But He's bringing you into all of His promises. He wants you to walk into all the fullness that has been created and foreordained and planned for you to have. We've shortchanged ourselves a lot. And I think Satan has done a remarkable job, and that's, of course, he's had a lot of years of experience and a lot of people to work with down through history. But he certainly has gotten our eyes, I think, off of the goal in many, many ways. But praise God, we're getting our eyes, maybe hopefully just a little fine-tuning here this morning. Amen. All right, if we could pick it up in verse 14. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. I think there's a lot of things that the Spirit wants to disclose to us that may not all be contained here. Because he said, many, many more things I'd like to share to you, but right now I can't do it because you're still babes. So as maturity comes, more revelation seems to flow, doesn't it? Interesting relationship there between the maturity and the revelation a bit. Alrighty. Moving now to verse 23 and 24. And in that day you will ask me no question. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything, He will give it to you in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Have you been asking the Lord for more of Him? Have you been asking more of the Lord for more of the Spirit of the Lord? Have you? He wants you to ask. He wants you to ask. He says the reason that you don't have because you're not asking. So I think we better start asking a little bit more from the Lord. Last week's message was so powerful, message on faith. Because the ages were framed by the Word of God. And by faith, we confess. See, if you believe in your heart, and the voice within your with your mouth, then you shall be saved. It's a process. But this great faith that God is releasing is so that you're going to be asking boldly for the things that God has freely ordained for you to walk in. The power of the Spirit. It's the day of the great unveiling of the Spirit of God in the earth. And we're heralders of that. And I hope this message then will allow you to be stimulated in your thinking to ask largely of the Lord. Okay. One quick verse, I'll just turn to quickly myself. John 1:33. I mentioned early on, and I just want to read it because I don't think I shared the full impact of it. 1:33. And I did not recognize him, but he who sent me, this is John the Baptist speaking, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending, that was Jesus Christ, the Spirit descended on Christ and remained upon him, this is the one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. John came forth and baptized. His baptism was a baptism of repentance, the removal of sin, so that you could receive the Christ. But he was saying that one who was coming upon whom the Spirit rests. He is the one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. It's not just enough to believe that He was or that He is. It's the great infilling of Jesus Christ in your life that makes all the difference in every age. And I'm trying to be able to substantiate the past with the presence, that the great things that happened in the past because of the anointing, because of the presence of God, are the things also which will happen in this hour, in this day, because of the infilling of the Holy Spirit in His people that will result in works from His people that shall bring forth the kingdom of God. Amen. These are great days to be alive, dear ones, great days to be able to breathe, to be able to see and to know and understand and hear these things. For many, many people have longed to see and to hear these things that we're hearing. By golly, we better be faithful to wring them dry, get everything we can out of them. Don't you feel that? All righty. Okay, moving forward here, over to Acts chapter 1. This is quite a whirlwind tour of the Scriptures here, more than I like to go through typically. But the Pentecost is an exciting time, and I want to have all of us realize the full potential of the outpouring of the Spirit and walk in all the fullness of our Lord Jesus. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 8 is what we're going to focus on here, picking up really in verse 3. To these He also presented Himself, that's Christ, alive, after He suffered, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days. And what did He do? He was speaking of the things concerning Himself, His resurrection, how He came forth from the grave, look, and I'm alive. No, He was speaking to them about the things of the kingdom of God. See His focus? Fantastic. And He also appeared to the disciples after His departure over a period of 40 days. So going back in history, this period of time from Passover to Pentecost was the time that Jesus Christ reappeared to His disciples. Actually, about 120 of them or so, I guess it says that in Acts chapter 3, but reappeared to His disciples repeatedly over a period of 40 days from Passover to Pentecost. That's the time period we're talking about 2,000 years ago, okay? Alrighty. And then picking up in verse 4, and He gathered themselves together and commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for which the Holy Spirit, which the Father had promised, which He said, you heard of from Me, referring back to what He had heard while He was with them. For John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And of course, then, you know, and then they ask Him, Lord, is it at this time you're looking to restore the kingdom? Interesting. But He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the epochs for which the Father has fixed by His own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be My witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the remote parts of the earth. And just like we were saying this morning, it's the power of the Spirit that's coming now that's going to make the difference. It's not going to be so much, we're not going to see the personalities so much. We're going to be glorifying Jesus Christ and standing to glorify Jesus Christ. The power of the Spirit is just going to fall. I'm also going to take you to a few examples here of that's exactly what happened in the book of Acts as the church was being launched. And how was the church launched? Might I ask you that? How was the church launched? It was launched by the power of the Spirit. It wasn't launched by a lot of organization. They didn't have email. They didn't have communications of all this, marketing plans and companies that you could hire to start marketing, the fact that Jesus now is at the right hand of the Father and such to convince the world. No, it was by the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God, which is really how it has always been through history, which is what I've been trying to show you, how it's the anointing and the power and the presence of God that makes all the difference in the world. I'm not looking to run around and try to go out and do a lot of stuff unless I have the anointing upon me and I have a real witness that has been a confirmed word from God from other people that also carry that same anointing, that it's been confirmed to me. Then I'm going to go out in the power of the Spirit, because then things are going to happen. Did you get that? It's not coming together with fervor and, we got to do this, we got to do that. No. While we wait for the presence and the power of God to fall upon us, when we have that anointing, words of wisdom and knowledge are going to come. Acts chapter 13, they laid their hands on these brothers and they sent them out. And guess what happened? They began to shake up the whole world, so that the whole world was troubled by these men. And you know what they did to them? The only way to get rid of these guys is to kill them. They ended up killing them, and guess what? Things kept growing still more. You can't kill it, because it's by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the great plan of God for this earth that we live on, and that's how it's going to come. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. That's why God, for all these years, and I thank God that we've been under the teaching of Spirit-led teaching that has been teaching us that the great and glorious days of the kingdom are upon us. Behold, we are heralders of the new day, and it is indeed a day of Spirit. And that's why there's been such a concentration of Spirit. There's such been such a battle on it, too. Because certainly Satan recognizes that once a people come forth and believe that, and they submit to Jesus Christ, and they are filled with, endued with the power from the Spirit of the, on high, the Spirit, he's doomed. He's dead. Finished. Remember, even the demons trembled. You read the book of Acts, even the demons trembled. You know, Paul we know, and so, all these other guys. But who are you? Yeah. And then, later on, these demons used to witness and testify that that they had the power. And they, of course, they sent them out into the herd of swine and different things like that. So, getting lost in different examples that are coming to my mind. But it's by the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit that changes everything. Okay, let's move forward here. Acts chapter 2. We'll pick up a few verses in Acts chapter 2, reading verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost had come, when's the day of Pentecost? It's this weekend, right? So we're talking about 2,000 years ago this happened. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, like here we are, like right now. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues of fire. And distributing themselves and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues and the manifestations of the Spirit. I think the church has made a lot of big, you know, a lot over the manifestation of the Spirit. And the big thing is, that's just a starting place. That is a demonstration of the anointing of the Spirit of God that comes upon you. Good. But let's begin to then have that anointing begin to so fill us and so just take over every part of our being that from that will come a living explosion of faith and love and joy and worship unto the Lord. That's what we're looking for here. Okay? But it does, we're not minimizing or diminishing this anointing that comes with the deposit of the Spirit. How many people in the room have received the anointing of the Spirit and have validated that anointing by the gift of tongues? Most everyone here? Okay. Should we maybe put it another way? Is there anyone that has not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evident sign of tongues? Anyone not? Okay, good. So we can kind of say, well, that's great. And that is wonderful to be among Spirit-filled believers. But for me, that's kind of the starting place. So we want to make sure that everyone's at kind of the starting place. Which is where we need to be, is accepting Christ as our Savior. Begin to open up to the power of the Holy Spirit with the deposit of His Spirit in you, evidenced by the witness of the tongues. But now we're going to go on to M-A-T-U-R-I-T-Y, maturity and perfection. So let's take another step into maturity and perfection, which is what we're going to go on into. But we want to start, certainly. How many can say today, for example, this service today, felt the anointing on any part of their tongue, mind, brain, hands, feet? Anyone sense the presence of the Lord like that? Some can say that they did. Some can say that they did. That's good, because it shows that the actual body is coming alive to the Spirit that is living within you. Because your spirit has been touched by God, is an anointed spirit, touched by God. And the manifestations of that will be reflected with an anointing. For years we have experienced an anointing. I think it's extremely important that everyone has a chance to sense that and to know. It's a witness, I think, almost of a sign to us in this hour of His presence with us. I know it's been an important aspect of what I've, my life as well. And we're going to believe here in just shortly as we wrap this word up, we're going to believe for more of that anointing. We want more of that anointing to be not only experienced, but to be evidenced within our lives. And as we move into this Pentecost, we're going to believe for even a double portion. We can say that because the scriptures out of Isaiah 61 speak about the day of the double portion of spirit. And it's always troubled me, the great parable of the 10 virgins out of Matthew chapter 25, that five were foolish, we know, and five were wise. And the five wise ones took oil in their lamp, good, and oil in their vessels as well, signifying that they had a double portion of spirit. They were looking for a double portion. So that's a double witness there that we have, not only spoken of Isaiah, but also in Matthew. So something really to give your hearts to. Okay, finishing up here out of Acts chapter 4, I think we covered that. Let's just jump down to verse 32, if you would, out of chapter 4, 2. Acts 2, 32 and 33. This Jesus God raised up again, to which you are all witnesses. Verse 33. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth that which you both see and hear. Because they were witnessing by the tongues and such that this manifestation of the Spirit. And then down to verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were all pierced to the heart, and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, you know, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, each of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who far off, and as many as will call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So the promise is for you, for them, and for all who will call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Very, very powerful. Okay. Since most of you in this room, all of you in this room, have received the anointing of the Spirit, this is so very, very precious to hear that. We want to make sure that is being built.